As a lot of you know, we have been filling the week up with hope and inspiration. And so we're going to end the weekend the way we began the week, with more hope and inspiration. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. We're on another Wednesday. You are in time for Spiritual Perspectives. We are still on the power of hope. Smokey Norful is helping us with that by singing his song entitled "Don't Quit."
Trying to pull myself above so I can see, but every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can.
I tell you, I know that it is helpful when we can hear someone share their testimony about God's faithfulness and how it got them through, so that we can be encouraged to let God bring us through too. We can't give up. We can't quit. That was interesting what they did with their horn section. All right, I'm going to be letting you hear some more of that Smokey Norful's "Don't Quit." And you may recall when we were talking last week about the power of hope, as we shared with you the definitions, because, you know, I just like giving those definitions from the dictionaries so that we can all settle that and not have to, you know, just lose time on, you know, a discussion of, well, no, that's not the way I see it. Well, no, that's not the way I would define it. Hey, here's the way it's defined technically by the dictionaries, by the experts. So let's agree on that. You know, that's a neutral party. And so we don't have to lose time talking about, you know, whose definition is the best definition. Here it is. And you may notice, as I mentioned last week, that one of the hallmarks of the definition of hope is that it is futuristic in nature. For the benefit of those of you who weren't with us last week, and just as, you know, a refresher for those of us who were together last week, hope defined, and I'm going to share it again with you very briefly from Holman's Bible Dictionary, so we get it from a Christian perspective, and then from Webster's New Universal Unabridged Dictionary, so we get it from a non-religious perspective. Notice the pattern, though. Trustful expectation. And you may recall I shared with you that to expect is literally to look forward to. And if you're looking forward, then you really have your mind set on something that is in the future. Trustful expectation, particularly with reference to the fulfillment of God's promises. If we're talking fulfillment of God's promises, that means something that has been promised has not been delivered yet. Biblical hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. Confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do in the future. All right, that's Holman's. Now here's Webster's. The feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. You hear the futuristic tones there, right? Not the feeling that what is wanted has been had, not that events have turned out for the best. The definition is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Futuristic. Hope is futuristic. And some of you may recall that also I shared with you from Romans chapter 8, the question that God had Paul pose for Christians of all times. How do you hope for what you already have? If you already have it, it is not hope. Now, remember, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. But remember now, if you already have it, you're not hoping for it. How and why would you hope, look forward to getting what you already have? If you already have that pair of shoes that you wanted 3 months ago, you went 2 weeks ago and bought the shoes, and they're in your house. Why are you still hoping to have those shoes? Why are you still looking forward to, expecting to, getting those shoes, and you already have them? All right, so here we go. Hope is futuristic in nature. It looks forward to obtaining what is not yet present or seen, or what is present only in part, but not in full, and not seen. Now, let's take a look at that twin or that partner, that companion, powerful companion too, of hope, faith. Now, we talk about faith a lot, and that's good because, you know, without faith, just like without righteousness, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we go back to that definition. Well, actually, it's not a definition, but the scripture that talks with us about faith and hope. One of the scriptures where we see these companions discussing the same verse, Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. And again, I'm reading from the New International Version. I know that that's going to be a little different from the very, very popular King James Version. But I tell you what, there are so many people reading so many different versions of the Bible. I mean, so many. New Living Translation is being read by many people. English Standard Version is being read by many people. New American Standard Bible, Amplified Bible. There are so many different translations out there, and people are reading them. So I just want to encourage you, don't allow yourself to lose time or energy being upset because your favorite translation, whatever that translation might be, is not being read. I've just stayed with the NIV, not necessarily because I consider it to be the best translation, because I don't. The truth is, I don't know which translation is the best. I've read numerous articles and asked several people about the various versions and how we determine which one is the best. And so far, the answer that I've been able to come up with from my readings and discussions from people who are professionals in the area is that there is really no way to determine which translation is absolutely the best. There are many translations that are clearly better than others. In fact, in some cases, superior to others. But there are so many translations that are outstanding because they have different focuses. It's still difficult to determine which of those that are truly good translations are the best or is the best translation. So, partly for consistency's sake, you know, with regard to what I'm sharing on the program, I usually read from the New International Version, which does have a reputation for being fairly accurate in its translation. And it's one that is fairly readable in the sense that, you know, it's much closer to the way we actually communicate, the way we talk in the 21st century compared to the way people wrote and talked when the King James Version was written. So again, it's not that I'm putting down the King James Version. I know that a lot of people just find some of these more recent translations, many of which do tend to be more accurate in their translation than the King James Version too, by the way. I just go with this one. Very rarely will I go for the New International Version, to the English Standard Version, to the New Living, etc. I usually stay with the NIV, again, just for simplicity's sake, for consistency's sake. So that's what I'm reading from now in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for Your faith and hope, right there in the same verse. And certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, verse 2. Verse 1, one more time. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith, I want to share this with you. The way one of the Bible commentaries renders that verse. In fact, this is the commentary critical. They word it this way. Faith is confident that the realities are. Hope is confident we shall have them. Faith is confident that the realities are. Hope is confident we shall have them. Sometimes we are believing for something that we just don't see. In fact, we're usually believing for it and hoping for it because we don't see it. And sometimes it's not made yet. I want to share with you again how, just starting with the material, since that's something that we can relate to a little more readily because, you know, so many people think from a material perspective. Let's say there's a car that you want. And a lot of people would say, okay, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as it's written in the King James Version. Again, the NIV, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure of what we hope for. So let's say you're hoping for a brand new car. I don't know what kind you want. Do you want a Malibu Classic? Do you want a Lexus? Do you want a Mercury? Do you want a Mercedes-Benz? Do you want one of the hybrids by Ford? What is your preference? Okay, whatever your preference is, that's what you use to fill in the blank. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Being sure of what we hope for. If it is not already in existence, it will be made in existence. I wish I knew remembered where that is in the Amplified Version. Because that is something that really helps us understand how faith works. If it is not already in existence, it will be put into existence. If it's not already made, in other words, it will be made. And God will get it to us. Now, let's say, for example, you want that automobile, that brand new automobile. You know what color you want the interior to be. You know what color you want the exterior to be, and you decided that you really do want to kind of personalize yours. You have a particular color scheme in mind, and you've decided that you're willing to spend a little bit more money to get yours tailored, customized the way you want it. The color interior that you want with the material that you want, the specific leather material that you want, and the specific body color that you want. And so you start looking at ways to get this automobile. I'm deliberately saying automobile because I don't know if you want a truck, SUV, a car. So I'm just saying automobile. And so you go ahead and you start believing God. You pray to God about it. And you ask, okay, Lord, I really do want to go ahead and replace what I already have. Is it okay with you if I do that? And if so, do you mind if I try to replace it within, and you give us a time frame that you're thinking about, the next 9 months, the next 2 years? And so you, after praying about it, you sense that maybe you should continue to set some more money aside so that you can save up to get the kind of deposit that you need, not an exorbitant amount, because you can pay too much on a down payment on your automobile. You may decide you want to pay cash, however you want to do it. And you come up with a plan. Now, I know that some people would teach that it's a matter of you learning how to just keep confessing for what you want because it already exists in the spirit realm. And all you have to do is keep believing for it until it shows up in the natural realm. All right, now when we come back, and I know that for some people, that really seems like, that seems kind of confusing. How do I believe it into the natural realm? And for some people, that sounds confusing. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to share this with you, because sometimes people's willingness to truly practice believing God gets shipwrecked because of the false ways of going about living for God and believing God discourages when it doesn't happen. I want to share with you the way this really works out, so that starting with the material realm, we can see how we can be believing God. And then I'm going to move to where we go from there, believing God for that which is not material. And I want to share with you the way it really happens, so that hopefully fewer and fewer people will be find themselves being discouraged because it seems like their faith just isn't working for them. Stay with me.
The race is not given to the swift, neither is it given to the strong.